Yes, good morning. Good morning. There you are. Okay. I'm Ray, one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to bring this morning's sermon to you. We're going to be introducing the book of Proverbs, but before we do, I want to as well wish you happy Father's Day, those of you who are fathers. So I brought some cards with me in case you didn't get a chance to get a Father's Day card yet. And you can grab these later. So it's Father's Day, Dad. So go ahead, nap all you want. For as a wise man once said, I'm not napping, I'm just resting my eyes. Enjoy the day. Okay. Another one. Dad, I could never repay you. I mean this literally. Please don't ever ask. I love you. Thanks for everything. Happy Father's Day. I like this one. I'm going to keep this one myself. Don't bother the father. Wish you a stress-filled Father's Day filled with lots of relaxation. So, just sets right there. And which father doesn't say, I'm not lost? Narrator, he was in fact lost. Happy Father's Day. And there's a little wagon train. Happy Father's Day to a man who doesn't need a GPS, telling him where to go and how to get there because he has been driving longer than you've been alive and knows exactly where he's going. Yes, us fathers, huh? We love it. Well, this morning, as I said, we're going to be introducing the book of Proverbs. So grab your Bibles because the outline is based purely on the text. And it'll be easy for you to follow the outline, actually, as we go through it. The book of Proverbs, which will be our summer study series, is really a book filled with wisdom and insight and is just relevant, has a lot to say to us. In fact, let me just give you some examples just to warm up your thoughts about it. In Proverbs 11, it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. I like this one. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted ox and hated with it. It's better to have a hot dog with a friend than steak by yourself or with someone who doesn't like you. Or a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. A man with many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Or how about this one? These are pithy sayings, aren't they? Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Don't wear it, you're welcome. Train up a child the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Point a child in the right direction. Now, the thing that we need to remember about Proverbs is that they are not laws. They are principles. And that's an important thing to remember. They will be, as we apply them, they're not magical, as I've said. And sometimes we think, this is truth and this is law, but rather they are principles that will guide us and not absolute law. And so it is the best route to take for that child. So a quick outline. In chapters 1, verses 1 through 7 will be our introduction to Proverbs. And in fact, it tells us what the book of Proverbs is all about. Then in verse 8 of that chapter, it is the father now talking to his son. And he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction or teaching, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And then he goes on, as you page through to chapter 9, he talks about wisdom. He talks about how sin is enticing. He talks about trusting the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. One a classic verse for sure. He talks about warnings against adultery several times. Practical plans for living life successfully. In chapters 10 to 24, if you look at chapter 10, it says, these now are the Proverbs of Solomon. And these are just collections of how to live once again. And he will say things like, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He opens wide his lips comes to ruin in chapter 13. Or in 15, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Or 23, it says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Chapters 25 to the end is again proverbs that were written down by Hezekiah after Solomon's death, but they were still Solomon's proverbs that he states. Wow, did you get all that? That was a lot of information about the book of Proverbs in a very condensed form. What I'm trying to do is whet your appetite for you spending time in the book of Proverbs yourself, and to show you and to teach you and to hopefully convince you that the book of Proverbs is worth spending time in, that it will give you insight, it will give you guidance, it will give you information that is so important to live a godly life. Now, before we read the book of, or the first seven verses of Proverbs, there are three things that I want you to remember that are so important. The first thing about Proverbs that I want you to realize is that it is divine revelation. You may think, well, why would you say that? Well, some people think of it as kind of like fortune cookie stuff. No, this is divine revelation given to us by God for our instruction and for our good. And it is rooted in the idea of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The second thing that I want you to realize is there are some words that we need to understand and have a reference to. They are, the two big words are knowledge and wisdom. So knowledge is gathering facts or information about something. Okay, it's gathering information. Wisdom, on the other hand, is using that knowledge correctly, or its skill of what wisdom gave you. It's applying with that knowledge with good judgment, with insight and experience. So, for example, knowing that a tomato is a fruit, wisdom says don't put it to fruit salad and fruit salad. Okay, that's knowledge and wisdom. Or knowledge is Robin knowing how to make a dress out of fabric, but wisdom is cutting it correctly and sewing the seams straight. Now in chapter 9, the third thing. So the first thing I want you to know is that book of Proverbs is divine revelation. The second thing is there are certain words that we need to understand to get a right understanding of the book of Proverbs. The third thing is that chapter 9 asks his son an important question that comes to us as well. The question is, with whom will you dine? And that's what he says. He says to son, with whom will you dine? Woman wisdom or woman folly? In other words, the choice is between God and the false nations that are around him. And it comes back to us, who will we follow? Who will we spend time with? In fact, he uses the word dine, which was the word to spend time with a person or with a concept. So that is the choice that we have. Who will we dine with? Who will we spend time with? And that decision, Proverbs says, is a matter of life and death, literally. How we spend and where we spend our time. Well, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, which is our text of this morning. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To a standard province and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's God's word for us today. Now, my outline, as I said, just comes right from the text. And if you have your Bibles and you write in them or whatever, you can circle the word to, which begins the clauses that we're going to look at. So who was Solomon? Well, I think most of you know, but for those who don't, in 1 Kings, we find out that Solomon was the son of King David and his wife Bathsheba. David spent a lot of time preparing his son Solomon to succeed him as king over Israel. And he was also preparing him to build a temple in Jerusalem. That was his big task. Solomon was the third king of the United Kingdom. So there was Saul, then David, then Solomon. After that, the kingdom divides. When Solomon became king, and the reference is in 1 Kings chapter 3, we find out that God asks him a question. And God says this to Solomon, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon answered with these words, "An understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It so pleased God that Solomon had not asked for riches and honor, that God says, "I will not only give you wisdom, but I will also give you riches and wealth and a long life." An example of his wisdom comes to us in that same chapter in 1 Kings. Do you remember the story where two women come to Solomon claiming the same baby? One has died during the night. They both had a child. One child died during the night. And so these two women come with the one baby, and they say to Solomon, whose is this child? And Solomon says with wisdom, "Bring me a sword, and I will divide this child." The reaction of the women reveal to him who the child belongs to. If you aren't familiar with the story, take some time this afternoon to read it. It is a fascinating story. There basically are two purposes of the book of Proverbs, and then some sub-points which we'll develop. So the first purpose is to develop moral skill in living. Moral skill in living. And he gives us five different ways to develop that skill, and we'll drop the mental part, but to develop skill in living. He says in the first phrase in verse 2a, he says, "By knowing wisdom and instruction or discipline." To know here is not just understanding or the idea of intellectual facts, but rather it's learning, it's practicing instead of ignoring and losing. The word instruction is an interesting word here. It's the idea of discipline or correction. So if you put the two words together, to know, to learn, to discern things, and then to be corrected or to be disciplined in that. So the idea is that if you have what we call a reluctant learner these days, you know, someone who doesn't catch the lesson very quickly, then there is added a punishment to it so that that learner will learn quicker. Is the idea. So the reason or the understanding is knowing wisdom and instruction or discipline with that knowledge. You might say that I was a reluctant learner during elementary school. Don't tell anybody, I didn't make it through grade one the first time. I had to repeat grade one. I was that reluctant a learner. The teachers added punishment to the place where I was so afraid to go to school that I missed so many days that they said, you know, Ray, you need to repeat grade one. And my mother would always say, "Yes, he does." And that's how it went. So to know wisdom and instruction or discipline is one of the purposes to develop skill in living. The second way to develop skill in living is in the next phrase, which is understanding insightful sayings. The word understand or discern literally means understand the sayings of understanding. And it's kind of a repeat there. These proverbs are to help us to understand the parables and illustrations of the book itself, but also of life itself. So Proverbs is to help us to understand how to live plainly, simply, straightforward, and to lead to positive change in our lives. But it also is to gain knowledge or information through our senses, is the idea of insightful sayings. You know, it's kind of like if you smell rotten gas, it could be a gas leak, right? Through your senses, you appreciate that, and we learn through that. That gives us knowledge. It develops skill in our life. The third subpoint underneath skill to live, it comes to us in verse 3. To develop and receive instruction in wise behavior. To receive instruction in wise behavior, he then gives three things that are so important. He gives righteousness, justice, and equity. Righteous, justice, and equity. You know, what is wise behavior? Wise behavior is for all of us to do. We all should be involved in wise behavior. And the areas should be in righteousness. So to define that quickly is being and living in a right way or doing what's right. Boy, do we need that today, right? The other thing we need today is justice, the fair administration and application of our laws, making things right that are unfair in our society. That is right living and wise behavior or good ethical behavior. And the third one is equity, being fair and impartial. If anything should be part of your life and your behavior, it should be righteousness, justice, and equity. Instruction is to correct our behavior and put us on the right path. The path of wisdom, knowing what to believe, what to do, can be difficult, but with God's help and with help of mentors, we can discern what is wise and what is wise behavior. You know, more than any other institution on earth, the church should be known as being righteous, justice, just, and equity. We should not have divisions whatsoever in these areas. And having spent time down south, boy, there are some places where you can find such problems in these areas. But let's not just point there. It is in our hearts as well. It is so hard sometimes to be equitable or to not have justice. And we see it in our courts all the time. And you hear of sad stories where someone says, we didn't have justice and something bad happened. Something was stolen or someone had a bad situation happen. The church should be the one, and we as believers should be those that are seen as having righteousness, justice, and equity. Well, the fourth way to develop skill in living comes to us in verse 4, giving prudence to the simple. Now, we need to slow it down because these are words we don't use or understand anymore. So prudence is the ability to carefully consider a solution. It implies forethought. It implies a cool-headedness or discretion. And simple or simple-minded means to be inexperienced. It means to be naive or easily believable or susceptible to manipulation. Now you can see how those are put together, right? Give prudence to the simple. So give a cool-headed experience to those that are naive or those that don't have great experience. A naive person will jump into a situation or will agree with things that someone who is prudent or someone who has an ability would not do. Let me illustrate. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, our phone rings. I'm not home. So Robin wakes up and she goes, I hope that's not Ray, but it could be Ray. So she answers the phone, thinking it might be me. And on the phone is someone who says, hey, Mr. Dujek. They never get my last name right, or hers. Your Visa card has been compromised, and we need to confirm your card. Have you ever gotten a call like that? Robin says, she's waking up, right? She's whatever. She says, I have to go grab it. And then when she got back on the line, she's starting to think, and she says, well, what number do you have? She asked the person. He said, no, that's not how we do it. You have to read me your number, and then I'll confirm the number that I have. No, she says, how about you tell me the number that you have? Now she's getting to be full awake and realizing what's going on. So she had prudence. She considered the situation, the forethought, what was going on, and was not naive to understand that this person was trying to get money from us. The next phrase is knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now, that's important because it just follows the prudence and the naive, because youth can be lacking in prudence or forethought or understanding of the situation and be naive in what's going on. And so as youth, we are supposed to help them with that. They can be naive and not be careful to consider the situation. The word knowledge, which is interesting here, is the same word that is used to describe the tree of knowledge Adam and Eve faced in the garden. Adam and Eve had an opportunity to align their hearts with God through obedience. They didn't need the tree to obey God, but instead they chose a source of knowledge apart from God. When we start to believe and act as though knowledge has a source other part apart from God, it's going to be a poison that leads us astray and into destruction. So the next skill that we are to learn from this is to develop a wise foundation in verse 5. There are three components here that are part of this wise foundation to establish in your life and in mine. These are hear, learning, and guidance. We are to always be hearing, opening our ears. We're to always be increasing in learning, and we're to obtain guidance or counsel. What wise instructions, right, for living? Can't we always be learning? Can't we always be hearing more things about God? Can't we be getting more counsel and direction? You know, this really reminds me of concrete. Too many of us are mixed up and well set. If you work with concrete, you understand. My mother was 65 when she went to be a missionary in Ireland during the uprisings. 65. She was learning, hearing from God and counsel. And she was so nice about it in that she said, you know, I don't have to raise my own support. I get CPP and OAS. I don't have to raise support. I can live off that. She had some wealthy brothers that sent her airfare, and away she went to Ireland for 10 years till she was 75. She worked there obeying God because she had heard his call. She wanted to learn and to accept his will for her life, and she got good counsel. And it was so good to stand actually on the platform and be part of the commissioning service for my mom becoming a missionary. So we move from developing skill for living to the second purpose, and this one will go faster than the first section. There are just two. Develop discernment in verse 6 by cultivating a sharp or keen mind. The final two clause is to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Here we have a return to the word proverb and the word riddle or perplexing words. The book of Proverbs is about better understanding the truth behind the foggy world that we live in. It's intended to provide practical principles, examples, and illustrations that will guide us through life. Solomon's task is to make plain the hard-to-understand teachings, or to practice this is difficult to understand, and that's where he comes along. So, for example, in Proverbs 30, he says this proverb, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. You go, okay, what does that mean? Well, let me explain it to you. The wise man says, guard me from riches and guard me from poverty. Well, why? Well, because if I'm rich, I might say, who needs God? And if I'm poor, I might steal. Well, why is that so bad? Well, I might end up in prison and lose a reputation. No, because if I steal, I will profane or make irrelevant the name of my God. Riches are dangerous because the ultimate issue is God. Poverty is dangerous because the ultimate issue is God. See, Proverbs tell us not to deny God in our prosperity and not to profane or make God irrelevant in our hour of need. The second way to develop discernment is the motto of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, which is our verse of the month. Now, fear can be dread, right? Being terrified, or it can stand in awe and have reverence. And here the fear of the Lord is referring to the reverence and fear that leads to submission to his will. In other words, you fear or reverence God and you submit to his will. And this is what comes to us in Deuteronomy 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God. Now, what happens through that fear? To walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today for your good. See, the fear of the Lord is to listen to the Lord. It is to reverence him. It is to obey him. It is to submit to his will. When life doesn't start with God, then it's really hard or impossible to see life correctly. And then it will be impossible to move through life correctly. And we will not have the skill or the insight or the success before God in the world that we desire to have. Stormproofing our lives means starting with knowing and trusting the Lord. Therefore, the motto of the book, verse 7. So if we ask, what's the basics? Beginning and integrating the theme of dad's instructions and mom's teaching. What is to run through their daily modeling and counseling and explaining and correcting and disciplining and giving unity and search to it all? The answer is the fear of the Lord. And it is that true in your life as well. What should be the governing factor? You see, the family is more than teaching kids to hold spoons and to walk upright and to say please and thank yous and to tie their shoes and read and look both ways when you cross the street and all those kinds of things. The answer is it's the fear of the Lord, the reverence, the listening to the Lord. The family is God's idea, right? He says in Proverbs here, in the Lord there's strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is the foundation, our fountain of life. The fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. This is the grand summary of the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. You know, a skilled electrician respects electricity not because he fears it will always hurt him, but because he knows its power. When I turn on my table saw, I always remind myself it's the power to take off a finger or two. And I respect it. Paul Tripp says this. He says, God creates people with a need for counseling and direction. And that's the book of Proverbs. God talks to Adam and Eve, immediately after creating them. Why? Because they need the truth, which they will never discover on their own. Who they are and what they have been created to do. God has never stopped talking to us, counseling us, directing us. And that's why he's given us his word. And primarily the book of Proverbs that we'll study this summer. We're meant to live under guidance, counsel, and direction of God. You know, we're all influenced by something, aren't we? You may be influenced by your parents or mentors or friends, or maybe you're influenced by Twitter or Instagram or TikTok, or there's 25 of them, so I won't list all of them. And they have great influence on our lives. Listen to what 1 Chronicles says, 28. Preserved for us David's final words of counsel to his son Solomon and to us. Know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Wow. The strong words of guidance and counsel that David wanted Solomon to know and allow to shape his life. I hope that I want God's word to shape my life. So God wants to shape our lives through a couple of things, and this, I guess, could be called application. He will search our hearts and thoughts and plans. Allow him to do that. Recognize that he does that. And then let's be on a search. Let's seek him. Let's seek him, because in that searching, you will find him to be a wonderful, trustworthy God. Be strong and courageous, because some of the things that he may ask you to do will take courage and strength. Doing what the Lord has chosen for us to do. How important. Solomon had the task of building the temple. We don't. But isn't this great advice for us today? Keep God central in all you think, desire, and do, remembering that he knows your heart. And don't let anything keep you from serving him. No matter what age you are, God has something for you to do. God wants you to serve him. May God give each of us the grace to follow these wise words of counsel that come to us. And may our lives be a hymn to the glory of our God as we do. You know, Proverbs is like a GPS. It doesn't just tell you where you are, but it shows you where you need to go. But you have to follow the directions. It's interesting how Solomon's life ends. In 1 Kings 11:4, it says, "And Solomon did not wholly follow the Lord with his heart." Even with his great wisdom and knowledge, may it be said of you that you follow the Lord wholly, with a whole heart, with all you have, with all your being. And may God grant you that understanding. Is anything holding you back from following him wholly and fully? I hope not. Let's pray. Father, what a challenge we face this morning in understanding all that you want to teach us through the book of Proverbs. We ask that it will be a wonderful journey. And as we are on this journey, may we wholly follow you, allowing you to search us, and if there's any wickedness in us, that you'll point it out to us. And in our search, you will find us, and you'll walk with us, and you'll give us strength and courage and counsel for the tasks that you have before us. And may we not shrink back from doing your will, but rather with eagerness to serve you with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.